100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share, because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was vacation, and even though this past week in Portland was a business trip, well, voodoo donuts. Also, I got to meet Justin. Hi, Justin. And Space Turtle. And Rose Drop Rust. That was cool. And Friday was Hangover Airlines, I gotta tell you. Well, we got a lot of stories this week. You don't need to hear my travel stories. So let's go ahead and get right to it. I'm going to shuffle the order around a little bit, and we're going to go with Jeffrey Fisher first. So, Jeffrey, let's hear it. Well, let's hear both of them. You got two.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher here with this week's entries for the weekly challenge on the topic of storm. My first story is called After the Storm. After the storm, the air became clearer. The stars emerged from behind the clouds. I left the house, damaged, but miraculously still standing. Many of the trees were not as fortunate. A large oak had toppled on the carport, crushing the pickup truck and trapping the Chevy sedan. In the distance, I could hear sirens, but knew they would not be coming out this far, not tonight. Lucky, I told myself. You were lucky, having survived a powerful tornado. And yet, surveying the damage, the ruins of the house, the outline of the devastated fields, somehow I didn't feel lucky. I felt as though all I knew had been carried away on the winds. My second story is called Storm Warning. I could see the storm in her eyes. When we married, I knew she had a fiery temper, but I loved her. Truth be told, I was also frequently short-tempered, and as passionately as we fought, so too did we passionately make up. We were Burton and Taylor, unable to live with one another, yet unable to stay apart. But this time, perhaps, I had gone too far. Damn it, Jeffrey, you left the toilet seat up. Again.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'd use the 1-2 punch analogy, but I've used that so many times. Now, I'll say both. You blew out that sneeze with both nostrils. I can't even do it right. You blew out that sneeze with both nostrils, baby. Let's see if that catches on. Let's see if Muncie turns that into some kind of epic 15-part story. That would be kind of cool. And now the man who could blow his sneeze out both nostrils with mighty wind and force. He wouldn't say it like that, though. He'd make it a romantic comedy, I think. Starring Steve Carell. Although, there are no phone booths that you can go change in. Right. One story in and I've already lost my mind. Thank you, Jeffrey. And let's keep moving. Ooh, we got somebody new here. It's Miriam Merriweather. She's new to this thing. Or maybe she's not. Maybe she's the alt of somebody. Who is she an alt of? Who's watching? No, I'm just being a door. Ooh, there's a new cracked.com out. All right, reflux. Everything's coming back. Good coffee. My God, good local beer in Portland. Oh my God. Even the bad ones were interesting. So, you know, it's like that scene where Dave's like, ha ha ha, this tastes revolting. Can I have another? You know how it is. No. This does not taste revolting. This is actually quite good. Merriweather, yes. Oh, I could tell you about the weather there.
Not like the sound of a freight train, but 20 giant C-130s warming their engines on the tarmac. Not threatening, because to me the sound was familiar. Then suddenly, the realization that it was out of place.
If you can hear my voice, it's too late. Don't keep listening. Take cover now. It's too late.
Pleading, desperate. Later, after the enormous wall of destruction passed, eerie quiet. Then the incessant buzz of chainsaws and hum of generators. Finally, droll words from politicians, promises made and broken, and television reports. The story was the hype was the story. Tornado.
Everybody run. Yes, this is the 100 Word Stories Tornado Warning. If you have not already taken shelter, bend down and kiss your ass goodbye. Thank you, Miriam. Don't kiss your ass goodbye. Keep coming back. That was a good one. No, she's not going to come back. She's my, oh my God, he's horrible and terrible. They warned me about him. No, really. Oh, it's good to have Bailey's back in my coffee. Even though the coffee was really good up there, and we went to some interesting little places, but the style, but what really got me was the fact that nobody used an umbrella. It was all hoodies, or everyone's hair looked awful. Just, why? Why? I know it's a gentle mist, but my Lord, the frizz. Oh, maybe you don't use those products. But I tried to use one, and people were looking at me, oh, foreigner. Probably drinks Miller Lite. No, I don't drink Miller. If you were to go into a brew pub in there and ask for Miller Lite, you'd get your head taken off and then duct tape your butt. I mean, just wow. Ooh. Oh, yeah. All right, let's keep going here. I babbled enough, which means I'll babble even more later. Muncie, who I think is in competition for, what was that again? The Drabblecast thing. I'll talk more about it later. What are you going to do, stop me? Here's Muncie. I wonder what he's calling us this week.
Greetings, March Hares. Tis I, the Muns Hatter, here for the tea party. The Mr. Tea Party. Have we all remembered our gold chains? Good. Let's sympathize with some fools. Story style. Stormy Weather by Christopher Monroe.
There's a storm a-brewing,
Grandpa always used to say. But, like, always. He'd say it every single day. Regardless of the weather. He went out of his way to wrap every conversation around to the subject of storms, brewings, or the like, just so he could say it. Grandpa was a little off toward the end, I have to admit. To make matters worse, whenever there actually was a storm, he would claim that he knew it, that he'd tried to warn us if we'd only listened to him. And, technically, it was true, so none of us could disagree. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Broken Escalator still available at Podiobooks and Smashwords. Also, I audio produced this week's episode of Journey Into. So, if you like short audio fiction, you should check that out. And if you don't like short audio fiction, why are you here?
I'm here because I produce the... Oh, no. Thank you, Muncie. And we're all March Hares. I've just tweeted that, so let it be tweeted. So let it be done. I missed you. I got two mugs from Voodoo Donuts. One is solid black that I'm giving away as a gift. Not to you. And the other one, unless you're the person that I'm giving it to, then okay. I ruined the surprise. The other one is the pink one with the hole in it. The magic is in the hole. That's going at my desk at work so that, you know, I remember that Portland is a dreary, wonderful, strange place. Every street, every street, had some sort of strip club, but it was disguised properly. I posted photos of various unusual places, and the 24-hour Church of Elvis was kind of a disappointment, but, you know, the faith has to be in your heart, not in a gigantic, broken ATM-like thing. What are people tweeting me for? I hope they're not resisting the fact that we're all March Hares now. Muncie, we may need to get an ass-whooping going. Until then, here's someone that can help us with the ass-whooping. Setcher Ray. I think I said that right. They say, I don't have a voice for recording. Sorry. All right, all right, all right. I'm looking at their blog, and they've got a... They're in a kind of a strange attack pose, and everybody's standing around with their heads in the ground, and they've been a part of the single frame stories, so at least they've got class. So let's not ruin that, shall we? Here is Storm by Setcher Ray. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, you don't have voice. What are you gonna do? Mouth at me? Don't take his insults personally, please. Stop crying. The clouds started gathering when I learned that Mom had cancer. Within weeks, she was gone. Then came the divorce from a 25-year marriage. It was the same year my younger brother hit the 5-year survival date for successful Hodgkin's treatment, only to start having epileptic seizures and die of a brain tumor. Ozone swelled and crackled. With each gale, the sky darkened. General Hospital never had such scripts. Successive thunderclaps rang out for bankruptcy, relocation, and unemployment. In a brief atmospheric interlude, the seconds pausing like years, the word lupus soaked in. This was going to be a gully washer. Gully washer. Every time I use the term gully washer, people are like, what's a gully washer? Heathens. Thank you, Setcher Ray. Hang on. Hold on. Don't let the gully washer wash your gully away. You know, that could be a song. Anyone want to produce that one? Don't let the gully washer wash your gully away. No. Has to be a little, maybe, someone who lives in a gully. Probably uses an umbrella. No, their excuse was the winds would blow away the umbrella. There weren't any winds. It was just a gentle mist all around. Although a little bit of raindrops. But, oh, why? If there's no wind, and the excuse was the wind will blow you, do they have very poor upper arm strength there? I didn't see people hacky-sacking everything around. Oh, gotta carry my briefcase down the street, let's hacky-sack it. No, there were some people with very beefy arms. And if not, I mean, there were plenty of unemployed people to carry stuff for you.
Hey, Matthew, you got a buck? You got a buck?
No, sorry, all I got is 50s. There's only so many times you can use that line before someone says, show me. I'm not going to show you. Around here. Come into the strip club, maybe we'll... Oh, right. Next story. Lizzie Goodcough. Now, talk about someone who can produce the hits. This is number one with a bullet and a grenade and... something. I don't know. Ninja. Here's Lizzie and her story. I love her topic. Her suggestion for the next topic is books. Powell's Books. Oh, wow. That place I bought. And of course, what do I buy? Nothing local, nothing special. I was being an asshole. Werner Vinge's book. You know the one. So,
you haven't read Werner Vinge?
Stop it.
His spirit roamed ahead of him while he struggled to walk through the storm. His mission was to deliver the message, energy levels low in the old city. Oddly, communications were down. As he arrived, his spirit returned. No one, he said telepathically. They moved on. And that meant humans would finally have to leave. Their long-awaited end on the planet made them less significant to other species. He was not sad to see them go. Ironically, considering the past of the human race, without their recently acquired need to play the eternal peacemakers, the war could finally start. And this was Storm, my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and check irez.com, where I also post my stories. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Check it all. Read it all. Go to it all. If you need daily, like, storiness, her. You don't need it from me. No. Go to her. And that stuff's good. As opposed to mine, which is, you know, I'm a clown, I'm goofy. Except there are occasional glimmers of light on this site here. The Case of the Amber Rose of the Amazon by Tom, which is up most Mondays. All right, I screwed up last week. The year I labeled as 2014, so I just fixed it to 2013. The next one will be out tomorrow, and then I've queued up the one after that. So, sorry about that, Tom. I suck. But, here, let me play Tom's story, and then, you know, all will be even, right? No, it won't. I owe him. I owe him big.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and tonight's story is called Not Normal. The old man sat in front of his house, head turned to the north and east. One by one, as neighbors passed, they asked what he was looking at. He'd raise an arm, point at the storm. Soon a dozen people were standing on his lawn staring at the storm. It was rolling in from the lake at 103rd and Jackson Park. In the Midwest, no one stares at a storm. Just too damn many. Further, no one is going to join a collective and gawk at one. But this was not a normal storm. It was black on black.
Thank you, Tom. No, it's not a normal storm at all. It's a storm that's gathering people rising up against me in my mad rambling. Maybe there will be a new host soon, a new person to put all these things together. After all these years, you would expect as such. It's not like all you people can just throw it together and open source it, and there's no collaborative platform for podcasting. There's no online drag and drop, is there yet? Yet. But one day there will be. And then we can all do this equally and together, and no voice will dominate this show. Until then, you're stuck with me. Deal with it. Oh, sorry. That was just the voices in my head taking control. Oh, I missed you, Baileys. Right, I need to take the trash out, don't I? Tinny's still asleep on Gina's shoulder. She's having that kitten was on me all day yesterday. So, I think, you know, she chose right. Little poor girl. She is literally trailer trash. She was thrown into a trash bin at a trailer park and recovered and cleaned up, and the thing over her nose has been cleaned up a little. Her little toothies still needs to be looked at and cleaned up, but she's doing all right. He's a cute little booger. He's so nice. Except Mist. We got her to be a companion for Mist, and there's still occasionally, well, you know. That'll work out eventually, I hope. Right. Stories. Serendipity? Okay, let's go with Serendipity. Hi, Serendipity. You got yourself a story there? Oh, sure, okay. Let's go ahead and get right to it. Serendipity story.
Take a good measure of humidity and oppressive heat. Mix well, and allow to simmer under low pressure until just off the boil. Now you're ready to get creative. Throw in some sudden squalls, drench with heavy rain, and for that pecan zestiness, the odd, unexpected gust. Let the mixture build to a rolling boil. Carefully add a generous helping of well-matured, full-bodied, thunderous rumbles, together with a dash of static charge. Serve in hearty portions, with a lightning garnish, and accompany with sweet hail, fresh from the freezer. And that is how to cook up a storm.
Hi, everybody. This is me. Thank you, Serendipity. So, all right. I always thought that Practical Magic was supposed to be set in some island off the coast of Maine or New England. And it, to me, for just some reason, it felt Pacific Northwest. And I thought, I've been to Whidbey Island. I've been to a few of the other islands there. And it just has that feel. And then the town going up and down, I think, you know, that looks like a place I've been. You know, it kind of looks like, is that Coopville on Whidbey Island? And even though it feels like north-south, you know, Coopville is actually arranged east-west, and the water is on the north side, even though Whidbey is a north-south island. It's kind of a weird shape. So I'm looking up, I'm going to look up where that house is, and I'm going to look it up on Google Maps. And it doesn't exist anymore because it was built for the movie, but it was on San Juan Island, Pacific Northwest, you know, off the coast of Seattle, in between Vancouver Island, which Vancouver is not on, and Seattle. So I'm like, oh, okay, because my parents are up in Squim. And sure enough, I'm looking down the list, and it's like, wait, it says Coopville. It's like, no wonder why I look so freaking familiar. Because, there, you know, that the pier goes off there, and the this, and the that, and duh. So I was like, that little spot that the women are in the wheelchairs, I stood there. And I'd been there after the movie, but I didn't realize it at the time. And it just hit me. And the house was a shell that was constructed just for it. The plants were fake and all that, but the interior was a set. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's so amazing. I wish I had that. I wish I could live there. You can't. It doesn't exist. So anyway, shout out to Coopville and all you people from Coopville listening to this podcast, which are zero. Maybe this will get someone from Coopville to go, we were mentioned in a podcast that nobody listens to. Woohoo! Coopville Pride! Eventually, one day I hope to retire to Whidbey Island, build up a castle and boiling oil and keep all the rabble away. Instead, you know, it would probably have to be recycled vegetable oil from the local restaurants, that's sustainable and renewable and, carbon neutral. We heat it up with solar panels and, composting. Speaking of composting, let's see what's, coming together in Zachman's mind as he brews together, some interesting organic compounds. Zachman? Let's hear what you've got.
My ex-girlfriend. Dad, I am in love and will be proposing to the woman I am dating. I know she is beautiful and a wonderful woman, very desirable, but do you not think mixed parentage will be a problem for your children? No, Father. What do you think this is, 1800? Mulatto have become successful businessmen, actors, and even president. That is not what I mean, you idiot. I mean, if you marry Storm, isn't there a likelihood your baby will bring lightning strikes down on your house before it learns to control its mutant powers? but you do have my blessing.
Thank you, Zach, man. That cheered me up. All right. Keep going. We've got... Still haven't gotten an email back. I'm still waiting. So let's move forward with Rick Thomas. He's back. One of the many, many fine... And I get a note here. Welcome home. I bet everyone's glad you're back. And it's like... Tinny is. Mist is like, whatever. And Gina's like, going, you know, it's weekend. So, you know, she's chilling. Everybody's just relaxing. Except for me. I need more coffee. Right. Rick Thomas, one of the many, many fine people from Empire Avenue coming in and letting you know what they think of your stories. I've been changing up the conditions for the bonus stuff because there have been people that have been munchkinning it. But he's not one of the munchkins. He's a true believer and a fine author. And his voice. He should have hosted the Oscars, not that ass clown Seth, that woman-hating jerk-off that everyone loves. Right. Here is Rick Thomas.
Parting Tempest. From afar, she watched the storm clouds encircle the village. They called her tramp, whore, witch, hauled out of town on a fence rail. She began twirling and swaying in a chaotic yet rhythmic fashion, cursing, swearing, spitting, her face a mask of hatred and rage. The storm assaulted the small village. Hail, thunder, powerful wind. Each stomp of her left foot sent lightning crashing into the village. Having leapt, screamed, stomped, and danced to exhaustion, she fell to the ground, clutching at herself, moaning with pleasure, smile upon her face. In the distance, fires raged, screams filled the air.
Damn, that sounds like first date with my wife. Thank you, Rick Thomas. We still have the rail. Okay. So, let's go with, I think, is he back? Yeah, Thomas Pitre is back after all these many years. Just want to make sure of something. And, hold on. Type that in. And I just need to make sure all the labels and everything are right because I always screw them up. Hold on, that goes there, and some of y'all figured it out by now, but still, here's Thomas's stories, and they're all really good. And speaking of Pacific Northwest, you know, SQUIM. Soon enough, this will be the shout out to the Pacific Northwest podcast. I mean, Eugene, Oregon, woo! No, actually, I didn't make it down there. Sorry, Frog. Sorry, Jay. But I still saw... But never mind. Here's Thomas.
The storm in his head was incessant. Steve threw food the last time he ate at the 101 Diner. Dipping into a bowl of tapioca pudding, he threw it at the blonde waitress in the mirror behind the counter. He continued to eat his buttermilk pancakes, head down, only lifting it to sip his black coffee. Everyone was stunned, not saying anything. They were shocked. Steve acted as if nothing had happened. The diners wondered if it was a prank. They went about their business. A busboy wiping the mirror, and things went on as usual for a Sunday morning. Letta Storm was the favorite exotic dancer at the torso part. Letta could do things with her double-jointed body that made all the customers sit on the edge of their chairs and lean forward, mouths agape. After a warm-up and a few spins on the pole, she would lean over backward, tuck her head under her behind, twist it 180 degrees, and move up a few inches to kiss her own belly button. One day, after a very stressful fight with her boyfriend, her muscles locked up and she was taken to emergency as a hideous, screaming, overhand knot. He stormed around the room, ranting about the quality of poetry he had just heard at the monthly reading. He sat through the first 20 minutes as the humorous guest poet read and mimed his work, then gritted his teeth as four more read. The first poem was about the woman's cat. The second, read by a portly gentleman, was a poem paying homage to lean meats. The third, a long erotic piece about the female author's affair with a Whirlpool washing machine. And the last, a piece by Dottie Aphid, a sonnet about the community garden and her 10x10 plot of rutabagas.
And that, my friends, is how a champion returns. Well, okay, if you know the secret, not much of a secret, really. Thank you, Thomas, and I'll... Shh, quiet. Coffee. Next one is by, speaking of returning, Steven the Nuclear Man. Steven, if you could talk to Rose Drop Rust, get him, you know, you do the publishing thing. He's got a bunch of stuff that, you know, ought to be self-published. Cool stuff, the September Rose things. If he needs your, bill me for the guidebook. And, dude, there are some good ones in there, man. And, just, you know, shh, come, talk. We'll talk after. Or before, if you're clairvoyant. Or, sorry. Too much coffee too quickly. Steven the Nuclear Man's story is next.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. It's been busy. Busy, busy, busy. My own collection of short stories, Kicking the Habit, is now available at kicking.alliterationinc.com. I've also been hard at work getting together Sarah Hans's first anthology that she's edited. It's called Sidekicks. You can find out more about it at sidekicks.alliterationinc.com. But now, on with the story. Tyler Durden was an idiot, 2 decades late and oblivious to the fact. Blowing up buildings in dramatic, exciting, and useless, puerile adolescent dick-wagging. This is different. This, now, is the tornado siren, the wavering whine echoing across the landscape. It is too late to run. Too late to print, to fax, to copy, to burn to disk. The storm is coming. A maelstrom of artificial life, digital ones of teeth shoveling food, data, into the knots of its gullet. Already the storm boils through the cloud, races along the highway, flows through the tubes. Static sounds like rainstorms.
Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man, and I hope Sidekicks is 1,000 times better than that movie with Chuck Norris and the kid and the... Now I'm thinking of Expendables 2. That was just sad. I need a vacation. Right. Next story. Bonchance and Sevi, they've returned. Oh, everyone's coming back. Well, not everybody. Then it would be like 450 authors. We couldn't even get everybody back for that Relay for Life thing. How sad is that? It's, where's the love? You people like cancer, don't you? Oh, also, for this year, I don't know what stunt I should do for Relay for Life. I'm not sure. If I do the same thing over again, I'll be like, oh, it's just trying to promote the podcast. Yeah, fuck you too. I don't know what to do. Any suggestions would be helpful, because I'm all out of crazy, wacky, twisted, double, triple entendre craziness. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm not creative. I'm not an artist. I'm not a pretty pony. Not a pretty princess. But speaking of pretty princesses, Severina Halo Star with Bonchon's Longfall on a leash. Who can beat that? And if you can, keep your mouth shut.
Crab Mariner's 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word is storm. These are collaborative works between Severina Halo Star, Bonchon's Longfall. First story is a Pablo story. A dark and stormy night. Pepe and Fifi were at their hangout when the storm hit. Lightning and thunder filled the air, which pleased Pepe. Quivering Fifi would snuggle up closer with each bang and flash. At storm's peak, the door swung open, and he swaggered in. Exuded confidence. Glaring sternly, it was clear not to mess with him. His fur looked perfectly dry entering from the storm. He glanced at Pepe. The name's Poncho. Now that we're all pals here, how's about you be a good mutt and fetch me a drink? Pepe began to plan as he got the newcomer a scotch. Timmy. A storm raged in little Timmy's mind. He looked around to see if anyone saw, but no one paid any heed. So many images, colors, sounds. Too much stimulation. Timmy looked around again. Still, no one acknowledged anything. Not even Miss Wrong, the math teacher, seemed to notice the difference. Unable to take it any longer, he cried out for help in a different way. He began to hit and bully classmates. In the principal's office, the teachers, counselors, and concerned parents stood in a circle around silent Timmy, looking for answers. The storm raged for years. Until the end.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. I love it. Little Pepe, little doggy. Woof! I didn't see any stray cats at all while I was in Portland. That was weird. Usually you see cats in the alleys or whatever, and somewhere, and I saw none. So they must be really aggressive on animal control there. Maybe they don't like the weather. Next up, well, I didn't wait. No, I did see a bobcat at the zoo, so. I wish I had had more time. I would have gone to the Arboretum. I heard that that's beautiful. I was just walking. The zoo, the layout, even though the animals were all like, oh, crap, it's raining again. I'm walking around the little thing with the eagles and the... let's tell the story of Ileana, the salmon, the sustainable, carbon neutral, natural, all of lovingly cruelty free. Weirdos. Wait, hold on. Got a new one there. All right, so I'll add that to the list. I didn't have to remind them. Money. Speaking of money, I bet you can take this to the bank and cash it. It's yet another story in the saga of Lola, which I think, once, you know, this ought to be a book. This ought to be a movie, you know, but not starring J-Lo. No. No, I think it ought to star, let's see. Who would be a good Lola? In the comments, put your suggestions. You know, let's see it. Let's see it all. Red Goddess, who have you got to read for you this week?
Crab Mariner's 100 word challenge. This weekly word challenge is storm. three topics hotel guests talk about obsessively: weather, food, and relationships. Most won't even plan their day without the weather report. Lola finds meteorologists to be overzealous promoters using scare tactics for ratings. How the hell is a snowstorm breaking news when there are multiple wars waging globally? Lola knows to keep her political opinions to herself. Besides, her role is to please and serve with a smile. Being a smart mouth has dire consequences she's not willing to pay. Instead, she compliments guests on their clothes, hairstyle, and jewelry, blending in as an outsider is key to weather unpredictable life storms.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a deep political and philosophical conversation with someone at a hotel. In fact, I think that ought to be a part of room service. You know, you can order eggs, bacon, and a deep conversation. Although, it would be helpful. I was in like a 250-foot room, and it would be nice to, you know, have a patio or something looking out over water or a park. That would help. Then people with bows and arrows from the park could fire them. And oh, good coffee. I need to refill my coffee. Well, I'm, thank you, Red Goddess and Bonchance, and keeping the dream alive, I think. One day Lola will rule over us all. Lola for president. Lola for the, well, I was going to say the Secretary General of the UN, but that's useless. I mean, U Thant was the last one with power. He would walk around with a large hickory stick, and anyone that was not being global, he'd whap them. Or he'd just, sometimes he would poke ones who were being global. Are you being global enough? Are you thinking globally enough? Speaking of people who think globally, let all the world rejoice that Uncle Monster is here. Now he says, he says he doesn't have a voice, but let's find out. Let's hear.
Hello, Uncle Monster here. Forgive the voice, I've been sick. It's the usual story. A dozen supposed strangers stranded in a country manor, roads and phone lines washed out by the storm. Everyone there has a secret to keep and a past to hide. It's only a matter of time before some desperate soul starts killing them off one by one. So far, of course, it's just been rounds of cards, cold drinks, and polite conversation. Haven't any of these people ever read Agatha Christie? It's almost midnight, and no one has died. Guess I'm the only one who cares about tradition. Now, where did I put that axe?
No, the axes are for staff use only. Guests are welcome to rent a pickaxe or a shovel or an ice pick. You gotta do that through room service, all right? Plus, you should have reserved one. Those are in heavy demand. You can go around the street and get one cheaper at the Rite Aid. Well, thank you, Uncle Monster. I actually bought a bottle of Jack and a Diet Coke. And how much of it did I drink? Very little. So I gave the Jack to Rusty. well, you gotta be civilized, I think. Next up, Norval Joe. I wonder if he's got his sound back and all of his stuff. Let's find out. Norval Joe, blow that harmonica.
Hello, all you vermicious canids. This is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship. And these are my stories for the weekly challenge with a... Weekly challenge number 358 with a prompt of storm. For those of you who are yet unaware, Flying Island Press has made a change in how we present the flagship science fiction and fantasy
magazine. We had been trying to develop a readership with a subscription base and a purchase base and through Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that, and it just hasn't paid off. So we're going to try a different route, and that is, it's free. That's right. We're going to give out our stories all for free, both in electronic formats and in audio. But of course, like everyone else, we're going to beg and plead and whine and cry for you to pay for them. So we'll just have to see if we can make a penny this way. And if not, we'll just throw in the towel. But we thought we'd give it our best shot because actually this is something we enjoy doing. And if you enjoy reading or hearing these short stories, we'd appreciate your buck. So here are my stories for the weekly challenge number 358. The system with the greatest potential for aquatic life is in sector 14,26,A,X, Borrell said. It's 12 hours by standard gimlet drive. However, I think we should go to our second best choice, which is 36 hours using the controversial Oopsie Daisy 360.
What makes it so controversial? Flirty asked.
There is a 1 in 36,000 chance we may experience a temporary exchange of internal organs. And why, then, would we not want to go to the first system? There's a galactic storm en route, and we'd most likely die.
By all means, then, Flirty said, let's take the second best.
Next story. Durgle hunched over the steering wheel, as if being closer to the windshield would make it easier to see through the driving rain. Water dripped from his sodden hood, fogging the glass. He clicked the knob and hoped. A moment later, the blades whooshed across the glass but refused to move again. In the moment of clarity, his headlights shone across the gravel road to his house. "Neither rain nor snow nor dark of night," he said, pulling his wings from his back. No, that was the postman, not the wiener dog fairy. He was getting too old for this. Thanks for listening. Go by Flying Island Press. Get your free science fiction and fantasy short stories. Then give us a buck if you can. And we'll see you next week.
What is it with you and wiener dogs? One day we'll find out. Thank you, Norval Joe. Keep the dream alive. I don't know where Mist is. I know where Tenny is. She's asleep. But Mist, I feel bad for her. We got Tenny for her to be a friend and all that, and now she's feeling displaced and all threatened and stuff, and that sucks. This backfired. If you've been listening to my audio booths, which I did not record any while up, because I didn't want anyone to hear me, because it would say, ooh, foreigner. No one was talking to phones either. Down here, people are tapping on phones and all. Up there, you can't, because it's raining. But I hope she's okay. They'll get along eventually, right? It'll all be fine, right? It'll all be wonderful. Yeah, the optimist, right? No. Speaking of optimist, how about the person who has everything going well and brightening up and cheering and the clouds parting and sunshine streaming through? You better put on some, sunblock, you'll wind up with something. Danny, here's his story.
Hello, Danny Dwyer here. And this week, a little treat, I was going to bring back one of my favorite characters. So brace yourself for Weekly Challenge 358, Storm. The clap of thunder rumbled from the black, ominous cloud steadily rising before us in the far west of the desert. Both I and my trusted donkey, Meatloaf Flying Spaceship, were heading directly into the storm, while my ex continued to chase us after I told her it's over, we're through. She didn't take the news well. Now she is closing in, breathing down our necks, riding on the back of her favorite Clydesdale named Mr. Sprinkles. If she catches us, we're dead, I said. Meatloaf responded, look at us, an ass riding a donkey. That's right, He's a talking donkey.
Yay, Meatloaf flying spaceship. He's my favorite. Thank you, Danny. You know, I actually, when I was downtown, I made a little photo with Meatloaf flying and then over, you know, well, it was actually flying spaceship and it was the Meatloaf at, what was that place? Was it Treebeard's? I think it was Treebeard's. It's been forever since I've been to Treebeard's because I don't go downtown. Well, I do go downtown, but I don't go downtown during the week. Although I am going, let's see, Thursday is oh God, I can't remember. I'll be really embarrassed if I spent $500 on tickets for stuff and didn't bother going. Oh wait, that would be Tampa. Let's see, we've got Cirque du Soleil on Thursday. Saturday is They Might Be Giants. And then I need to buy tickets for opening day for the Astros. So, my God, $100 a seat for the Crawford boxes for the worst team in baseball. For opening day. Wow. They have some fucking nerve. Although it's to see the Rangers. Just, they assume that everyone's going to drive down, see the Rangers, and then, you know, go home. It's going to be a nightmare. But still, that's what we do. It's baseball. It's worth it, right? We're going to wait and see if we can get on StubHub. Speaking of StubHub, how about some stories from Sing? Postcards from all around. And, by the way, another mad week, but cleared his midterm review, meaning he is now able to get on and finish the PhD work. So, congratulations, Sing. Let's celebrate with story.
Red Storm Postcards by Chris Mooney Singh. Adelaide, South Australia. I'm leaving you and Ozzy during a dust storm, escaping on my first overseas flight. Toggling music channels, I stop at Australian country and western. The song takes me all the way back to childhood, Christmas morning presents with Rolf Harris singing in the background.
Six white boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, on his Australian run.
It was our national Christmas Looney Tune, evoking Santa and sled with kangaroos replacing reindeer, minus the snow. Suddenly, I taste all the sickliness of nostalgia. And although I hate admitting it to you or anyone, I feel Australian for the first time.
On his Australian run.
Singapore. Darling, sending you this postcard between flights. Stepped out of Changi Airport and took a shuttle bus to Orchard Road. Man, crazy Christmas decorations everywhere. Shopping madness, packed streets, a sea of Eurasia. It seems that all people do here is eat in the food courts and shop till they flop. And the humidity is unbearable for Adelaide Hills dwellers like us. The weirdest thing? Ubiquitous Claws left his kangaroo sleigh behind at the equator and arrived here as a Zeppelin Santa tethered above on a giant cable, the ultimate helium balloon being buffeted about by monsoon storms. Signed, Intrepid Traveller. Detroit, Michigan. There'd been a big dump of snow on the front yard just before I reached your relatives. Floating with ridiculousness, brother-in-law Frank, direct from his singing Santa gig in an old folks' home, became the retrenched husband again. While your sister just keeps quietly dealing with the avalanche of bills. Then, guitar strung over his red suit, lugging a milk crate of songbooks, wires and mics, he waved to me with a flapping elbow like a chicken's wing. Startled, a red squirrel shot between his legs. Frank, now fully embracing epic failure, let himself topple headlong into the snow. Manchester, United Kingdom. Peter, my Manchester friend, told me how a stream of couch surfing, no obligation sex came and went regularly from his city apartment. Dusseldorf Frieda, for instance, was quick to show gratitude with a blowjob within the hour. Yet the mind hungers on. Massing below, the sexy Santa fun run was a perfect storm about to happen. He imagined girl Santas galore in every gastropub. Frieda was left, like cold pizza in the box, as he went down to register. "Quick, where's my Santa suit?" he boomed at the starting line, like Moses wanting to part the Red Sea. Ganges River, India. No Santa suit for me. Instead, a yogi orange robe. I was living in a grass hut beside the Ganges, meditating, taking dips. After a swim, the locals thought me a bearded holy man with long wet hair. They touched my feet and left watermelon offerings. I began to feel more and more fake. Inwardly, my perverse mind was defeating tranquility each time I closed my eyes. I kept thinking of some imaginary girl in a sexy red Santa suit. Fortunately, the pre-monsoonal storm saved me, flattening my hut, then sending me to Delhi Airport and home. To you.
6 white boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. 6 white boomers, snow white boomers, on his Australian run.
And that, my friends, is how to tell a story. Whew. Thank you, Singh. Whatever we can do to, you know, make the thing for the whatever. All right, what? Now I'm getting people asking me questions here and there. And how about I just hand things over to Planet Z while I get other things taken care of, okay? All right, so here's Planet Z, his story, and then we'll wrap things up.
We own a big shaggy white dog named Blank Canvas. We're not sure what breed he is, but he's big, shaggy, and white. It's fun to give him baths because he runs around and shakes off the water in large, wide, wet sheets. Sometimes we add Easter egg dye to the water, which colors the dog blue or green or red. Over time, we've gotten fancier with the colors. Today's? Front dyed red and back dyed blue like a French flag. It doesn't matter. There's a storm coming, and whatever dye we use will just wash off in the rain.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website, at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options to let people know that you were a part of this, and to invite them to be a part of future shows. And there's also a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. If this show inspired you to write on the topic of Storm, you're not too late. Send the story in with a recording, and I'll add it to the main feed. Until then, where the topic will be idiot, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.